Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Countout.
Oh, this is, again, your, this is your thing.
Yeah, you keep jumping the gun there, man.
I know, because you don't initiate. You're not taking the initiative. What have I told you? Ever since you were a little kid, you need to start taking the initiative.
You didn't know me when I was a little kid, first of all.
I say, you know what? You're a dumb bastard. All right,
shut your feet hole. Let me talk.
Go ahead.
This is a Countout, the only top 10 show right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. The show can also be found anywhere fine podcasts are available, including CastBox. Mm-hmm. It's a great app. Got a partnership with them. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Subscribing really helps the show. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. All sorts of contribution tiers, rewards, great rewards, I may add, associated with said tiers. For example,
the best rewards.
What do they get for contributing $10 a month, Steve?
A postcard. I have to have, you need to send, I need to make sure that I'm like behind on the postcards. All I have, they're all addressed. I just need to have you sign them with autographs. So they're autographed postcards, autographed by us. And on top of that, you get all the lower tiers. Access to asking questions for the podcast. Whenever we do a recap, we answer questions, and those are all on the Patreon.
Yeah.
And you also get access to the $5 reward tier, which is watching our live streamed recaps.
Yes, very good. Thank you. Also, Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Sonata.
Neither of us are wearing Pro Wrestling Tees shirts from our store right now.
No.
But anyways, we're here. We just did. Hopefully you've watched it by now. 10 winners of the Superstar Shakeup 2018.
Unless they wanted the bad news first, in which they came here first.
All right, then welcome.
I wonder which thumbnail will be more enticing for people.
Ooh.
They're going to go through anxiety attacks. Oh, I don't know what to do. Winners or losers, winner or losers. Anyways, yeah, if you haven't watched it yet, after this video, check out, we've got our videos going at the same time.
Finish this video first, then watch that one.
Correct, yes.
Yes, so this is the 10 losers of WWE Superstar Shakeup 2018.
I have faith that all these people can make lemonade out of lemons and then stomp some dogs. That was my Noah Jose impression. He's all over the map. That impression's all over the map. Sometimes it's Bobcat.
It is. That was kind of Bray Wyatt-esque.
Yeah, that was a little bit Bray Wyatt. Where was he in the loser category?
I mean, he's in a holding pattern right now, man.
All right. Anyways, let's kick this off. Top 10 losers of the Superstar Shakeup. Number 10.
10.
Chad Gable. Look at that picture. Look at his tongue. It's funny.
I kind of wanted to put him on here because at least when he was a member of a tag team with Shelton Benjamin on SmackDown, we knew what his place was on the show. We knew his role. You knew that that team was essentially kind of mid-card tag team. They were on TV.
Two shots of the tag titles.
They were on TV regularly.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the Bludgeon Brothers, they would have
had
them.
Pretty darn close.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now he's venturing out as a singles competitor on a stacked Raw roster. Chad Gable is a fantastic wrestler.
Oh, I love Chad
He's
Gable.
Might be one of the best six wrestlers in the entire company, just pure wrestlers. But I would just worry that he might get lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Great wrestler. He's got tons of personality. He's decent on the mic. He's got all the talent in the world. I just worry that they will underutilize him while on Raw because there's already so much talent there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Everything you said is correct. There's not a lot of room for... Oh, man. There's not a lot of room for guys who are kind of on the unproven side. I know that they were the...
Well, No Way Jose's there.
Yeah, I know. It's not looking good for him either. Like, I kind of feel like they're higher on No Way Jose at this point than they are. Like, Chad Gable's going to be eating pins from Elias. Maybe No Way Jose. I don't know. I mean, maybe they can put him back with Jason Jordan.
I don't want them to put him back with Jason Jordan. Give those guys like a best of seven series. Yeah. That's how they get over.
Well, that's his biggest asset is he's a phenomenal wrestler. And on top of that, he is a phenomenal personality if given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's going to be interesting what they do with him. Let's do this for each of these losers though. Let's ask the question, what's the silver lining? How can they turn this loss into boss?
Well, I think for Chad Gable, if he like Jason Jordan, when he was struggling with his character work, struggling to get over as a heel or kind of a heel, he was given matches against Roman Reigns and John Cena, and he hit home runs with both matches. I think it takes one match, incredible match, put Chad Gable in the ring with Seth Rollins, give him 25 minutes, and he will wow the crowd, and he will get himself over that way. He is unproven on the main roster as a singles competitor. But everybody knows he is a fantastic wrestler. Give him a platform to show off his skills, and he can get himself over.
Yep, I agree with you.
He just needs opportunity. I just worry that is what may be lacking for him.
Here's the silver lining for Chad Gable. Jason Jordan was able to, and granted it took a convoluted storyline and him being shoehorned as a heel-ish character, arrogant, oblivious, whatever character, to get it done. But eventually, I mean, he was on TV every single week in a very high-profile situation. And I think Chad Gable actually has a bit more personality and fine-tuning on the mic than Jason Jordan with the same wrestling skills, maybe even better. And so I think Chad Gable, there is the opportunity, the potential for him to have a Jason Jordan-esque breakout moment. So, yeah, that's his silver lining. Number nine.
Nine.
The Miz to Raj. I kind of feel like they could have been on both of these lists.
They could have, but I feel like without The Miz, they're going to get pushed to the back of the line in the tag division and be there to eat pins.
Yes.
Before they eventually break up and then go on to eat pins individually.
If there's anybody that I would predict is in danger of being released a year from now, it's these two. At the same time, I will go right into the silver lining. They are no longer henchmen. At this point, they are no longer henchmen. They made a bit of a statement towards The Miz in the main event this past week on Raw when they basically denied him the hot tag and, you know,
walked out on him.
So, and another silver lining, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel are phenomenally talented.
They are, and they were really given an opportunity to show off far more of their personality as members of the Miztourage than they had in anything else they were doing directly before.
The crowd really wants them to succeed. They always have the crowd behind them. And especially in the case of Bo Dallas, there's always his brother. Bray's there. And we'll see how that pans out. I kind of agree with you. They were on TV every single week. Now that's really super up in the air.
Yeah.
But you know, I really hope that they, I mean, I don't know. I kind of wish that they would, you know, split them up and try to just refresh them a little bit because they are both very talented people and the crowd really does like them.
Yes.
But yeah, get them out of The Miz. I think it's probably great for The Miz. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't look great. Number eight.
Eight.
Absolution.
So I was thinking of putting them on here because it seemed like they were heading towards a program against Ronda Rousey. And if you're going to be in the ring against Ronda Rousey and you're pretty new to the company, that's a great opportunity for you.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to go in the direction of a tag match. Ronda, Natalya taking on Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose. Been a really good opportunity for Sonya Deville to get in the ring with Ronda Rousey. That would have been massive for her.
Yeah, it'd been huge.
Instead, they sent them to SmackDown. We saw how SmackDown was booking Riot Squad when they were there. It wasn't good. I hope they take a step forward when it comes to booking Absolution and actually utilize them to their fullest instead of kind of having them occupy the same space as Riot Squad, where Riot Squad was losing all the time.
Yeah.
So that's my worry. There's just a lot of unknown in terms of their role on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that you think of them now because Paige is gone. I mean, that's, if there's a silver lining there, it's that they can continue to learn from Paige, who no doubt, you know, gave him a lot of wisdom on the road.
But there's also a potential interesting story that if she starts giving them opportunity, you know, granted, we kind of saw that with Kurt Angle and Jason Jordan, but nonetheless, you know, that's a storyline that's rife with potential for interesting developments.
Yeah.
And if they explore that avenue, maybe they can do something interesting.
Yeah, it's a shame. The problem is, I was kind of getting at this, that I see them as a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they at some point, well, the last pay-per-view, whatever it was, they were wearing the same, you know, thematically colored clothes.
We think with them and now the Iconics on SmackDown, it's like they have the foundation there for a tag division.
They really do. I think it'd be great if, you know, we mentioned when we were talking about Nikki Cross on our SmackDown episode that there's not a whole lot of great, you know, sort of competitors for Shayna Baszler. That being said, there are a lot of women who have been signed to NXT. They could build a tag division on SmackDown for the women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they bring over, I mean, you've got, I mean, essentially with the Iconics, with
Absolution,
you've got, you know, I mean, Charlotte and Asuka probably going to stay singles, but you've got Becky Lynch who could anchor a really great tag team. Becky and Naomi. That's right. Becky and Naomi can anchor a tag team. So you got three right there.
And you can put Tamina and Lana back together.
Put Tamina and Lana back together, and then maybe one tag team call up of.
Or if you do a cross brand, there's a lot of exciting possibilities. So you can have Alexa Bliss and Mickie James be a team, and you mm-hmm. can have Riot Squad be a team.
Yeah,
you know.
And now with the cross brand pay per views, that could totally work. Yep. Absolutely. What'd you think of that? The cross brand music video thing. I loved it.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention the SmackDown recap. I thought it was charming as hell.
Oh, okay.
I really did. And it was well produced.
It was well made. I fast forwarded past it last night.
Oh, it was fun. I wanted.
I watched a bit of it during the Raw.
I wanted to, and I couldn't. I was like, this is oddly charming. It should be. It's cheesy as hell.
Yeah.
And it should be really bad, but I actually kind of liked it. I thought it was cute. To see how everybody was getting into the. That was good. And Carmella was $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Absolution. I mean, like I said, the silver lining, you know, there might be a story there with Paige and perhaps the idea of, you know, because the Iconics coming up. Granted, they're another heel act. I'm not sure how long they'll be able to stay heel, but they're a heel act right now.
Yeah.
There's a possibility for some good tag team action, and that could spur something.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven. Finn Balor. Why is he on the losers list? Larson, because you put him here.
Because the club's not around anymore. He's just kind of wallowing in the same
look,
spot.
Look at him here. He's just by he's himself. So sad. He's sad. He's watching Gallows and Anderson walk out the building.
He's just kind of wallowing in the same spot on the card he has been since he returned. I mean, I imagine he's going to get some sort of one-on-one match with Seth. Maybe if Seth manages to retain the Intercontinental title after Backlash. But if he wins, then there's...
Is Finn in that ladder match?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So there's potential, I guess... I'll say this. He could not be a loser on this list if he wins the Intercontinental title. If Seth manages to retain that title all the way through till SummerSlam or something against somebody else, then what is there really for Finn to do? They don't seem inclined to put him in the Universal title picture.
You know,
if they're not going to put the Intercontinental title on him,
you know,
what
so
is there for him
fun?
To do?
You know, it'd be so much fun. Is if here's what they really need to do.
Get you over. Should have sent him to SmackDown so we could have feuds with AJ Styles, with Nakamura. Well,
that's what they did. They didn't do
send
that.
Send him with the club over there so you can have all this Balor AJ club stuff. That's interesting stuff.
Man,
and they should have done that.
Look, man, they didn't do that, though. They didn't do that, so stop talking about it.
Well, that's one reason he's a loser, because they could have had interesting stories on SmackDown.
Here's what they could do.
What?
Here's what they need to do. And I don't know what's less likely. Going back in time with the time machine and changing history and sending Finn to SmackDown, or what I'm about to suggest. Start playing a little looser with that damn Universal Championship. I know
time
you
travel's
want,
more plausible.
Yeah, probably time travel. But if you were to position, so if they want Roman to be the new John Cena,
yeah,
right? Position Finn as the modern day Edge. Edge got that title plenty of times.
Yeah, he was an opportunist.
And a lot of the times it had to do with John Cena. So have those two trade that title a couple times. Put Finn squarely in the main event scene where he belongs
as a
tweener foil to Roman Reigns. And I think that would be fantastic.
It would be, but it's not going to happen. They could have done that on SmackDown as a tweener foil to AJ Styles and have been fantastic.
Yeah, but look at that main event. Okay, let me ask you something. Who would you have not, who in that upper scene would you have not sent over instead
Probably Samoa Joe.
But Samoa Joe is a dominant heel.
I understand that. You don't need a dominant heel. You don't need that.
What's another? Give me another face then. Give me somebody who occupies, who, as we like to say, checks the same boxes.
Oh, over on SmackDown?
On SmackDown. That was sent over.
Pull up the roster.
Like maybe Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy. Yeah, there you go.
Anyways.
That's it. That's the guy.
That's the ticket. The silver lining for Finn Balor.
He's Finn Balor. He's like the coolest guy.
I know, man. Well, maybe it'll elevate him. Some of the pressure.
I would like to hope so.
Who's gonna be bigger in 3 months, Finn Balor or Bob Roode?
Finn Balor.
You gotta say Finn Balor,
right? Unless Bob Roode turns heel.
Yeah, Finn Balor be fine.
No, he'll be fine.
I'm sad the club's gone.
I know. It's just more because the club's gone and he didn't go to SmackDown with him.
How about this? He's on here. What's more likely, time travel or WWE signing?
Time travel.
WWE signing Tama Tonga.
Time travel.
Tonga Loa.
Time travel.
And Bad Luck Fale.
Time travel.
What would they call Bad Luck Fale?
I don't know. That's such a good name.
Bob Fale.
There'd be three Bobs on Raw then.
Oh, no. You can't do that.
No.
Which one's going to get rid of their name? Anyways, moving on. Number six.
Six.
Jinder Mahal. Look at Jinder right there losing his U.S. title.
Yeah, he lost his title on the first night of Superstar Shakeup. That, by definition, I think just makes him a loser. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
and
come on.
Assuming that everything that has happened remains, like this is the new status quo. And by that, I mean U.S. title on SmackDown, Intercontinental title on Raw. He gets moved over to Raw, which is, you know, historically speaking, the A show. So good. But he makes that move without some belt around his waist. That's not so good. You know, he can occupy that kind of mid-card heel role fine, but with a bunch of other heels potentially for the upper card on Raw, I don't know exactly how he fits into everything.
Well, so they lost Samoa Joe. They lost The Miz. There's some silver lining for you. He's a former WWE champion.
But they also brought in Baron Corbin and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, okay, so they brought in more heels than they lost. Okay, that's not silver lining. He's a former WWE champion. He's tall. He's got an entourage with him. So
he's got a ton of personality.
I love Jinder. I think he's great.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a very good wrestler, but I think he's great. You know, and he works hard. So there's a place for him. There is a place for him. I don't know. I mean, ever since he lost the WWE championship, you know, there's always been the question of what do they do with Jinder now? And, you know, we've seen it. You know, he held the U.S. title. I guess he has as good a shot as any at the IC title and then being fed to Roman. What if he takes the Universal title off Roman? They'll be eating our
number one winner.
Yeah, he'll be number one winner. Definitely not going to happen. But, yeah. You show up, you lose your title. How else can you be classified but a loser?
Yeah, pretty much.
Moving on. Number five.
Five.
Alexa Bliss. She went from tops to not tops pretty quickly.
Yeah, so, you know, she walked into WrestleMania, Raw Women's Champ, left WrestleMania without the belt.
Yeah.
I know she'll probably rematch against Nia Jax. What was it? It'd be a backlash, I'm guessing.
I think it's a backlash, yeah.
She'll probably lose that match, too.
Yeah.
And then she's going to fall down the card.
Well, hold on now.
A bit, because
she's still top heel, right?
Well, wait to see how this whole Sasha Bailey thing plays out.
Oh, yeah. Sasha's going to end up top heel.
But then you have Ruby Riott showing up. I mean, I'd be very surprised if this feud between Alexa and Nia continues past Backlash, in which case you'll need a heel to step in. It's kind of a feud in between, you know, whoever Nia feuds with going into SummerSlam and the fall pay-per-views. And Ruby Riott seems to... And that's good for Ruby, too. That's a fresh matchup. It's good for Nia.
Sure.
New matchup.
Yeah.
But it kind of leaves Alexa Bliss in a bit of limbo. I mean, she might get into a program with Ronda Rousey somewhere down the line, which would be good, but she's going to be out of title contention for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's not going to win any match against Ronda Rousey.
So I feel like the Bayley-Sasha thing is going to end up being for a title at some point. You
Perhaps.
Think it'd have to be. Nia Jax, I think. Okay, so here's some silver lining for Alexa Bliss. Not only is she still top heel, which is probably going to be the case for a little while, She's also on Total Divas, and they always like pushing the Total Divas stuff. And I feel like, so some silver lining for Alexa Bliss. I'm not sure how big of a loser she ended up being. Like, they lost Asuka, so there's one roadblock she don't have. You know, one silver lining for her. There's actually a couple silver linings for Alexa Bliss. One of them is that they could extend this Alexa Bliss Nia Jax. There's enough stuff there for it to be kind of a Kevin, Sami Zayn thing, or even a Sasha Bailey type thing because of their history.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
So they could extend that out and leave it and come back to it and leave it and come back to it. She'll have a high profile Ronda Rousey thing probably at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, unless I mean Stephanie might enlist her aid. I don't know, but yeah, there are definitely higher profile. I'm not sure she's going to be. She's going to get that title anytime.
Yeah, the path for her and that women's title is far less clear now than it maybe would have been 4 or 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I don't know. The time will tell with Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. I'll put it this way, though. I feel a lot better about her silver linings than a lot of other people on this list.
Yeah.
Just because, like, she's proven that she can adapt. She's proven to have staying power. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with her.
Yeah.
I feel like a little bit of a shakeup for her could have been good, though, like her going to SmackDown somehow.
I know.
But anyways, moving on. Number four.
Four.
The Revival. Why are they losers? What happened to them? They lost the club and T-Bar.
Yeah, I know, but Authors of Pain are there now.
Oh, that's right.
So I feel like if Revival had gone to SmackDown, there was the potential for them to have to really showcase what they can do. We have yet to really see that in the main roster. Nothing they've done in the main roster compares to what they did in NXT. Nothing.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Sending them to SmackDown, letting them get into programs with New Day, which happened briefly when they got called up. The Usos.
The Revival are a spectacular wrestling team.
Yeah, they're maybe the best, one of the best and pure SmackDown, wrestling tag teams.
Yeah, and SmackDown sent over all their worst wrestling teams.
Yes.
Breezango, The Ascension.
Yeah, so if you send Revival over to SmackDown to get in these programs with New Day, Usos, even T-Bar, who's there now, man,
that'd
been some spectacular tag team wrestling over on SmackDown. Instead, they're stuck on Raw. They're going to be behind Woken Matt and Bray. They're going to be behind Authors of Pain.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So there doesn't really seem to be a clear path for them to move up the card in the tag team ranks.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
At least on SmackDown, they could have put on spectacular matches and started wowing people that way.
And that would have been a clear path. That would have been a really good path for them.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think, okay, no, you yeah, you explained it well.
I convinced you.
Like, yeah, no, you totally did, because I'm like, really? Why? But yeah, then I forgot about Authors of Pain. Eesh, that's not good. Number three.
Three.
Becky Lynch. So we kind of mentioned this in the winners episode. We started to come around to this. Becky Lynch.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. There's one other team to consider the revival for the Revival too in their way on Raw. Based on how the Titantron was produced for Raw, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Oh God, yeah.
Might be a tag team. Yeah. Also, Dolph and Drew McIntyre might be a tag team.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, sorry. Carry on with Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. She's been on the screen long enough. Yeah, Becky Lynch. So Asuka shows up. Charlotte's already there. They're the two top dogs now in the SmackDown Women's Division. Becky Lynch, she's like one of my favorites.
Oh, she's great.
On social media, she's fantastic. She did like a little Twitter video of her eating some quinoa as she finds out that Charlotte's getting attacked Asuka's gonna, getting attacked. And then she put it down and ran. She's charming as all get out.
And she's a great wrestler.
And she's a great wrestler. People love her. She was the first SmackDown Women's Champion. But her path to the women's title is sketchy as well. Unless they have something really high profile for Asuka and Charlotte to do away from the title that could clear the path for Becky Lynch, then that's a possibility. If Asuka and Charlotte are both there, they're the top two faces. Mm-hmm. That doesn't leave a lot of room for Becky Lynch. All of a sudden, she's like in the Naomi spot.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, Naomi was a two-time champion, but we always kind of knew that it wasn't going to last.
What they really need for Becky, not short term, not soon, but in the near future, within the next 6 months, is a heel turn.
Okay, so I'll tell you why I actually like a heel turn for Becky Lynch is because she can maintain what makes her so charming, which is just her personality.
Yeah.
And she could have... So her heel turn, I liken to the heel turn of her mixed match challenge partner, Sami Zayn. I could see it in that kind of ilk where it's still kind of charming and kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's kind of sinister as well.
So, yeah, a little devious.
I could, yeah, exactly. I could see that going down really well. Carmella's there as a heel, but she could exist in a different way. There's always a thing when you have, like, one character, you can check off similar boxes as long as, like, other boxes aren't checked off and still exist and be okay. And I think Carmella checks off certain things that Becky Lynch doesn't do and vice versa.
Here's the problem with her turning heel, perhaps, is that the SmackDown Women's Division is already very heel heavy. You have Iconic Duo, you have Carmella, you have Absolution.
Okay, but
then you have Lana and Tamina.
Yeah, but the Iconics, I mean, they're so new and they kind of cancel each other out when it comes to the women's title. I feel like that's kind of the problem with them, and I kind of feel the same way. And so, like, you know, the Iconics, they may very well be feuding with Charlotte and Asuka for the next 3 months, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that'd be fantastic for everybody involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that could take all of them out of the picture, which could clear the path for Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch and Carmella have always had, they've always had that thing. So, I mean, this could end up being a huge silver lining for her, or she could turn heel and they can try to explore that down the line.
Yeah. So I don't think she's been a heel since she's been on the main roster.
I don't think she has either.
I think she, of the group of women brought up, you know, to kick off the women's revolution. I think she's the only one that's been faced mm-hmm. the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the question is, would she be able to pull it off and still be like, you know, that would be kind of tricky, but yeah, I don't know if the Iconics take up Charlotte and Asuka's time over the next 3 months, that could clear the path for Becky Lynch and mm-hmm. Carmella. If you really
possible.
Hope it does. They seem to have them all three of them. Like when you saw how that shot was framed last week with Becky, Asuka, and Charlotte all together, they seem to have them all kind of in the same regard.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully she doesn't get lost in the shuffle. There's the possibility she can be, mm-hmm. but hopefully she doesn't.
Yeah.
Number two. Drew McIntyre. Oh, dear.
Man, he should have been called up as instant addition to the main event scene as a face. He is charming, charismatic, personable. Despite being incredibly handsome and ripped as hell, relatable.
Yeah.
He has everything you need in a face champion.
Yeah.
He's comfortable on the mic. He's good in the ring. He looks like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have him be essentially Dolph's henchman?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
I was really taking it. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
You and I were both trying to find, like, I can guarantee, as it happened, you and I were on the exact same page, trying to figure out the silver lining of this. You've mentioned how their tag chemistry in the ring
seemed really good.
That zigzag Claymore combo, and I agree with you on that one. I think Drew McIntyre is exceptionally talented. It's just, even when he first got released from the WWE, and, you know, he went over to TNA or Impact, whatever it's called, and he got their world title, and he tried to be the first, you know, traveling world champion in a while. He was – his gimmick throughout his indie life, his short-lived indie life there in between stints in WWE, was very blue-collar. Mm-hmm. It was very humble, blue-collar, I'm a fighting guy. NXT, he was trying to take on any and all fighters,
mm-hmm.
Any and all challenges. He wanted to fight to retain his title. And I'm not saying immediately that's not going to be the case, but, you know, you look at how they debuted him with Dolph and, you know, it was underhanded. He did a sneak attack. Well, that's not the Drew McIntyre that I liked. And I feel like you're exactly right. The Drew McIntyre that we saw in NXT was somebody who you could so easily just get behind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you understood him just from one sentence that he would say. It's like, okay, I'm totally on board with this guy. He's all charisma.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think he's talented. I think he could pull off this. I think he could be able to pull this off. It's just, I don't think it's where he's naturally best fit.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And
yeah.
I am worried with him being a second, like a henchman to Dolph. That worries the crap out
yeah.
of me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other silver lining in this that we'd thought about is, all right, they'll have him come in as a heel. They'll do the story where there's problems between them. Dolph will turn on him. Face turn for Drew,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they're going to use that to catapult him
yeah.
up the card or something. But if not, I mean, this is as beguiling and confusing as Bob Roode showing up as smiling babyface in his debut.
Yeah,
you know?
No, yeah, I agree totally. I mean, so here's the other thing that you could point to in terms of a silver lining. So when Bobby Lashley made his return, it was really to do nothing. You know, like he came back the Raw after Mania. He, you know, beat up Elias, then he went away. He was in the main event thing. Longevity wise, there doesn't seem to be a lot for Bobby Lashley. I mean, I'm sure they have a plan, you know, in place for him. But there wasn't an obvious, okay, well, this is his story. This is where he fits into the plan.
Yeah.
And you and I both like that to be the case. We like to see some plan in mind. Oh, this is what he's going to do. As opposed to just, hey, everybody, I'm here. I'm jacked. I'm great. And that's sort of the Bobby Lashley thing. Drew McIntyre at least has some sort of story.
That's true.
Immediately off the bat. Like you said, I think this is going to end up with a face turn against Dolph. And this could be, you know, a 6-month thing where we get to see an evolution happen with Drew McIntyre. And in which case, I'll be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
It was just kind of off-putting, you know, at the offset because it's like, okay, well, that's not.
Well, you see.
That doesn't play to his strengths.
Yeah, I know. And you see his narrative that's developed since he was released
mm-hmm.
of him, you know, mm-hmm. putting in the work and,
yes.
and improving himself as a wrestler,
yes.
you know, and to have it all come full circle to return to WWE in surprising fashion, win the top prize at NXT. And then you expect that narrative to continue with by making a huge splash when he is brought up. And it just didn't happen. It just felt really underwhelming.
One of the things that they really – here's the thing. They need to not be afraid of people liking him.
Yeah.
I understand them wanting to have him be a heel. Like with Braun Strowman, they were never afraid for people to like Braun. He was a giant dude. He was a heel with the Wyatts. So they need to keep his theme music. Like, I don't want him just hanging out with Dolph and using Dolph's theme music.
No, especially
you know?
Not with that scratch.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep his theme music because it's really, really cool. And then, you know, keep that, like, cool jacket that he wears when he comes to the ring.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let him keep the cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're about to unveil the
number one
worst loser. I even forget who this is. In the WWE Superstar Shakeup 2018, the biggest loser was...
Number one.
Oh, man. Really, this should be us, the fans of Sanity. Nikki Cross wasn't even announced as part of the Sanity call-up to main roster, even though she's arguably the most deserved one of them all.
Yes.
In terms of the work that she put in NXT during Sanity's run there, nobody was loved more than Nikki Cross. Nobody made more of an impression than Nikki Cross. Maybe Killian Dane a close second. But Nikki Cross, fantastic. Our only silver lining here is maybe we'll get a killer feud between her and Shayna Baszler. She's been kept off TV. I haven't really noticed. Oh, yeah, but she's still on our thing here. There we go. We're still here. I have to remember that. I was doing really good.
Yeah.
And then I just started staring at Nikki Cross there, and I forgot that we're supposed to be on camera. So anyways, Nikki Cross, yeah, everybody just blew up WWE's Twitter.
Yep.
And hey, maybe that'll just be affirmation or validation for them to say, hey, you know what? People really love her, and it'll make even more of a splash when she does come up. I just really hope she comes up with a Sanity reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I love her interaction with them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a huge... A huge part of Sandy is missing by not having her involved.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, I don't know what Shayna Baszler's next program is, who her next feud is against. But if it wasn't Nikki Cross, they better fast track that
mm-hmm.
after this, seeing the response that her exclusion from Sandy's call up is generating. I mean, she'll be on the main roster, you know, probably by summer.
Yeah,
I would suspect.
I would hope so.
And
next takeover is it Money in the Bank? Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And I would be shocked if her call up didn't happen mm-hmm. to rejoin Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a disappointment because they are such a cohesive unit. Sandy is.
Yeah.
To see, you know, a quarter of that unit not be brought up was a bummer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she would have added a completely different dynamic to the women's division on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we'll see her eventually.
If they end up putting her on Raw, it's going to be the biggest bummer.
Yeah.
It's going to be a total bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. Our biggest losers of WWE Shakeup 2018. Of course, watch our biggest winners video. It's up right now. Thanks for watching, and until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that, and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.